Heavenly Bodies, written by Rhys Bowen and read by Roger Clark.
Chapter 1. It was the postman who noticed it first, as he careened down Clanvire's one and only street, half in control of his motorbike and half not. He glanced at the small row of shops to his left. The village boasted three shops and a petrol pump. First in line of shops was a butcher, G. Evans Cigydd, the Welsh word for butcher, in large letters, and then purveyor of fine meats in tiny ones. Then R. Evans, dairy products. These two had been known locally for years as Evans the Meat and Evans the Milk, respectively. Only the last store in the line, T. Harris, grocer and sub-post office, had spoiled the Evans's monopoly. But T. Harris was long dead, and his widow had finally given up the unequal struggle of trying to compete with the nearby Tesco's and had retired to live with her son near London. How she could want to spend her final years among foreigners had been a lively topic of discussion. And so the corner grocery store had remained vacant for some time. The postman, yet another Evans, naturally nicknamed Evans the Post, had been modernized like most things in North Wales. He now made his deliveries by motorbike, enabling him to cover the outlying farms, as well as the villages of Clanvire and Nant Peris. He had been riding the motorbike for at least a year now, but was no nearer to mastering it. The look of wide-eyed terror in his eyes matched that of the pedestrians who were forced to scramble out of his way. One of them leaped aside now, as Evans the Post turned to stare at what he had just seen, lost control, and almost mounted the pavement. It was Mrs. Powell Jones, the minister's wife.
"Idiot! Fool!"
Mrs. Powell Jones shouted, as she reclaimed her dignity after the leap. "I'll call the postmaster about you. You'll end up killing somebody." But Evans the Post was already well past her and out of hearing range. He finally wrestled the bike to a halt, extracted a letter from the mailbag, and loped toward the front door of a whitewashed cottage across the street. Instead of posting the letters through a perfectly good slot, however, he rapped on the door and waited until it was opened. "Letter for you, Mrs. Williams," he said, "from your granddaughter, the one who's studying in London. She loved that jumper you knitted for her, and the Barra Breathe you made." The round, elderly woman smiled, not unkindly.
"Thank you, Mr. Evans, although one of these days you'll find yourself in trouble if you keep on reading everyone's letters. You'll read something that's not good for you."
"I don't mean any harm," the man mumbled shyly. "I know you don't. Go on then, off with you, or you'll be late checking into the post office and that new postmaster will be after you." Evans the Post went to leave, then swallowed hard, making a prominent Adam's apple dance up and down. "Somebody's moving into the old grocer's shop," he blurted out. "I've just seen them."
"No. Escoban Wheel.
Are you sure it wasn't just the estate agent?"
"No, really moving in. I saw them doing carpentry in there, fixing things up."
"Well, I never. I wonder, who's taking it after all this time? I hope they're not thinking of turning it into something heathen. They turned one of the chapels in Blenheithfestiniog into a betting shop, you know. And remember that French woman who turned the chapel into a restaurant? I'm not surprised the good Lord burned it down."
"A cafe wouldn't be bad," Evans the Post said, "especially if they served fish and chips. We don't have anywhere to eat in the village, apart from the pub."
"Decent, God-fearing people should be eating in their own homes," Mrs. Williams said, folding her arms across a vast expanse of bosom. "I don't hold with all this eating fancy muck in restaurants. It isn't healthy. They say there's an obesity epidemic, and I say it's too much eating away from home.